This meeting is now being recorded.
Okay.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Okay, so thank you all.
Sorry, Paul.
Who's chairing?
This is Natalie Vernal. I'm not chairing. I'm just going to make a quick introduction to say the date and hand it over to Kim. So hello, everybody. It's July 21st at 9 p.m. UTC, and this is the NAMES SLE data review meeting, and I'm going to hand it over to Kim Davis.
Well, thanks, Natalie. The reason we called this meeting was to walk through a document we shared with the DTA a couple of weeks ago. A summary of our analysis from roughly 3 months' worth of data that we've collected in support of setting the service level expectations for the IANA transition. What I propose to do is walk through that document. I'll roughly explain at a high level what we've done and what we came up with, and then we'll switch to an interactive demo of the real-time dashboard that we've developed and show you the functionality that that has. Questions are welcome. You can either save them for the end, or if there's something very pertinent to what's being discussed at the moment, please raise your hand in Dope Connect and I'll call on the question. So with that in mind, I'm assuming all of you have a copy of the PDF, but not being presented in the Adobe Connect room, and we'll scroll through it as I talk. So the document basically sets out to go through all the different measurement categories that were in the design team final recommendations, it's essentially report the data that we collected from when our root zone management system was instrumented to when we pulled the data to begin this analysis, which was towards the end of last month. For those that weren't heavily involved, will know that the design team came up with a set of criteria and definitions of what should be measured in the final recommendations. We then took those recommendations to our software development teams and asked them to implement the software changes necessary to be able to record against those new measurement categories. Once that software had been developed and fully tested, it was then deployed, and the bulk of that measurement began on March 2nd with the deployment of a new version of the root zone management system. We've then been streaming and collecting raw data since March 2nd, and then, as I mentioned, in late June, we bundled up what we'd collected and started doing analysis on those. Once we reviewed the data, we went through and just checked that we believed it was accurate. In particular, we paid close attention to some of the outliers. We had the teams that actually process the requests review the raw data to confirm that individual requests that were out of the average made sense. They went in and looked at the detailed interaction with the customer, looked at what happened in the ticket data, and confirmed that the measurements were accurate. I'll ask you to scroll down a little bit. Perhaps the next page. Just a few additional points, introductory points. None of the performance measures that we had exceeded 100 for any given measurement for a given month. So with that in mind, given that there was never more than 100 per month, one of the assumptions in defining our proposed targets was that meeting thresholds such as 99% are probably inappropriate, simply because given the population count was less than 100, if you just failed to meet it once, you would automatically fail the SLA, so it might as well be 100%. So for those that should be 100%, are set at 100%. For those that there is an expectation that there might be some variance that's acceptable, they're set to less than 99%. For availability, During the period under measurement, all of our systems were available 100% of the time, except for the periods of routine scheduled maintenance for the reserve management system itself. There was no unexpected unavailability issues, to put it another way. And then with respect to accuracy, I think we're all in agreement that there is an expectation that we're always accurate at 100% of the time. So even though we were accurate 100% of the time, if we weren't, we would still be proposing 100% as the measurement there. So moving on to the measurements themselves, I'm just going to walk through them basically in the order that we process tickets from beginning to end, and then some of the auxiliary categories are after that. So the first measurement category is time for ticket confirmation to be sent to requester following receipt of change request via automated submission interface. Essentially, what this is measuring is when you submit a ticket, our ticketing system will notify you of submission of that request by sending you an email. This email contains your reference number, and we're measuring the time between those two events. So we measured this across all the categories that were defined by the design team. As you can see in the measurements, they all were approximately, in the range of 1 to 4 seconds. The maximum throughout the entire period was 3.8 seconds. So we're proposing there, our recommendation is 60 seconds, simply because our belief is that from a customer's experience perspective, there is not any significant difference between it taking, let's say, 3 seconds or taking 5 seconds or taking 10 seconds. And there might be some minor system variability in the future, might be under heavy load for whatever reason, and that should be accounted for, given that it's not expected that those few extra seconds of delay are going to have any meaningful impact on the customer experience in performing that kind of transaction. So our data is there, and that's what's led us to that recommendation. Moving on to the next category.
Sorry, Kim? Jay?
Yes.
I think just for each of the categories, if we could just stop and check to see whether anyone has any questions, that would be useful.
Okay. So in that event, I'll stop right now. Any comments or questions on this particular measurement?
So I have one. I don't disagree with it, but I just wondered why 60 was chosen. Seems I recognise that you want some threshold that gives you a bit of leeway on this, and I agree with you that there isn't that big a difference at all in terms of people's perception about it. I just wondered why 60.
It just seemed like a reasonable number. I admit that it's somewhat arbitrary. I mean, it could be 30 seconds. It could be some other value. I felt that if we stuck to what we've done in most of the other measurements and said that it was 4 seconds, that would be unduly strict for the reasons I just mentioned. I'm happy to take advice on where you think the boundary should be. I'm not wed to 60 seconds. Like I said, it just seemed like a reasonable value, given that customer experience is unlikely to be impacted in any significant way when we're talking about just the number of seconds for that to happen.
So I don't object to the 60 seconds. I just think that the lack of a formal explanation as to how we got it potentially is a weakness later on. Generally you would pick something like 5 times the maximum observed or something like this, but it's trivial, this one. We can let it go. I'm just flagging that for later, perhaps.
Okay. Chuck, I see your hand raised.
Thanks, Kim. A general question, first of all. Am I correct in assuming that all the threshold recommendations in here are staff recommendations? They weren't developed in conjunction with Design Team A. Is that correct?
That's correct. I mean, this meeting is essentially, we're presenting it now to Design Team A, what our recommendations are. But firstly, what our compilation of the stats are, and then what our recommendation is based on that, given whatever mitigating circumstances are that we've tried to describe.
Thanks, Kim. Chuck again. Just one more kind of general question. And I'm not on Design Team A, so that's why I'm asking this question. But did Design Team A make any threshold recommendations for any of the categories that we're going to be looking through today?
In the final recommendations of the Design Team document, there was a few measurements. My understanding is they were placeholders to be superseded by the results of actual analysis and discussion. But for the vast majority of the fields, they were left blank. So following the conclusion of this call and based on any feedback we might receive during or after it, we'll then take that and insert that into those blank spaces in the recommendations to turn it into a fully fledged sort of SLE threshold document.
Thanks, Kim. Just one last point then, or one suggestion. This is Chuck again. It would be helpful in cases where Design Team A did have a recommendation to see that side by side what staff is recommending, unless Design Team A thinks that's not a good idea, and I'll respect their judgment on that. And that's all I have. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Chuck. Elaine.
Again, thanks. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
So to follow on for Jay's question, I see the data here shows that most of the responses occurred within or under 5 seconds. And I think the 60-second recommendation, a customer is going to be fine with 5 seconds, 30 seconds, or 60 seconds, but what's the consequence of hitting that 60 seconds? Is that a look at the service? Does it trigger some sort of monitoring alert on your side? Maybe we want to put that closer to the norm, like 30 seconds, so that we don't get out to a point where we know we've really got a problem.
So I think as a general rule, we set ourselves to internal standards as well that might be stricter. I mean, we have a 24/7 IT monitoring service that monitors all of our systems around the clock. We try to hold ourselves to, higher standards and monitor these things. So if there was like a trend that was getting larger, that's something I would hope that we would continue to manage to in terms of our internal performance management. My understanding is breaching a threshold, firstly, it shows up on the INA website and the dashboard as like a big red X that for that period, we've not met our commitment. Secondly, it would sort of trigger the CSC to take formal sort of notice of it and to study the issue and identify if there's something to be done, remedial action, or whether it's explainable, and that would be an automatic trigger for that kind of discussion. That's not to say if it doesn't breach a threshold, the community still might want to express concern or have a discussion about a particular measurement. I mean, if this was consistently 3 seconds and then it's now consistently 30 seconds, I still think that's a valid dialogue to have. Nothing about this, I think, really prescribes that either way. Does that address the concern?
Yes. So it's good to hear that you're not waiting until it hits 60 seconds to have a look or do something about it. And I understand that the 60 seconds means public shaming on the web page that you're not meeting the threshold. I guess my concern is if we've got a group kind of watching this, if we have a way to see when something might be a little bit wrong and there's some action taken. Kind of like I guess I'm thinking of ICANN's SLAs for registries where we've got some range where we get some notification that something's wrong, and then once we hit a certain amount of problem and when we're in breach of our contract. Sure. I was keeping along those things.
Okay. Jay.
Thank you. So in response to Chuck, Patricio, could you mute your line? I think that's you coming from, according to Adobe Connect. Right, so Chuck, Design A did at an early stage recommend some quite detailed targets and thresholds for every part of the SLE, but it was the view from IANA was that that was inappropriate because it was changing the status quo and that we didn't have a good understanding and measurement of status quo. So we agreed then to this approach whereby we could measure and then set some new thresholds and targets from that, and then any then tightening up of those would take place with the CFC. Sorry, I'm not sure if you heard that.
This is Chuck, thanks.
Go ahead, Chuck.
I just said thanks.
Okay. The last, Jeffrey, I think, had his hand up.
Yes, do you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. So I guess my question is a little bit just of a process question here on what we're going through this, and I guess it's a follow-up to Chuck's question and Jay's response. I missed a little bit of what Jay said because it is. Is there an expectation now that as we look at this, with your 60% recommendation, 60% recommendation, sorry, is there an expectation now that you would want to receive approval from the DCA on the call today, or is there, I'm just trying to work with you because, I'm just looking at this one and it's an automated system, right? A request comes in, you're saying, hey, the automated system will kick out an email saying, yes, we've received your change request. You know, this one I'm not, not worried about, and I would say, okay, yes, but is that something that you would want approval from today, or is this at a certain time frame down the road? I'm not sure what the next steps are as we receive your recommendations and what the expectation, if any, is from the design team and or others in the group. Thanks.
Thanks. I mean, I think today, personally, I was looking for feedback in case further work needed to be done. If there's general concurrence with what we've presented today, we'll then take that as the step to insert it into the format of the recommendations, and then it would move to the implementation team. Trang from the implementation team is in the room with me now. I might just refer to her as to steps beyond that.
Thanks, Kim. Hi, Jeff. This is Trang. From a process perspective, Jeff, I think what we, like Kim said, what we're looking for is we're presenting this, obviously, for the first time to the design team A as well as to the CWG, and our recommendations based on the data that was aggregated. And from a process perspective, what we would be looking for is feedback from you, and then, we will go back and rework as necessary anything where there's requests for us to go back and take another look at. And then ultimately, through this iterative process, we would arrive at a set of thresholds that are agreed to between ICANN and the CWG, and then obviously the next step would be to put it into, insert it into the naming function agreement that we're working on with the CWG. So in terms of process, I think that's sort of the flow of events.
Okay, no, that's very helpful. Thanks for that.
Lastly, I see Patricia, your hand is up.
Yep. I just wanted to second Chuck's suggestion that whenever design team A has some recommendation, we should have that account also, because it may serve as a useful reference point. For instance, the time for confirmation of a request to be sent, which we are now discussing, the report from Design Team A also has some suggested numbers, which was that it should be less than 1 minute 95% of the time, which matches very closely the 60 seconds 95% of the time that the staff is recommending. So that's another reason why the 1 minute or the 60 seconds sounds kind of reasonable.
Okay, I mean, we'll look at the previous design team work and see if we can make annotations where it makes sense. The bulk of the SLA matrix, for lack of a better word, in the document just has blank squares. So I think there's not a lot there, but we'll look at noting those as we integrate the data sets. Okay, so I'm conscious of time. We've only got through one measurement and we're already 20 minutes in. So I'm going to go forward at a brisker pace, but I'll stop if clarification is needed. Let's see, where are we? Time for lodgement of a change request into RZMS by ICANN staff. This is when this is when a customer sends a request via email and staff need to then go in and manually enter it into our system because the customer, for whatever reason, wasn't able to lodge it via the web. In this instance, we had absolutely no requests that met this criteria during our collection period. Intuitively, this is a little bit of a surprise to me. I thought we'd at least have a few. But I think in this instance, we didn't have any data to work off to provide any sort of information to inform an SLE at this time. The next category is, Elaine?
Thanks, Kim. Yeah, so I'm wondering if you took a look at historical information, having sent an email and gotten an email response. Ayanna, I know that there is something in the last year or two. Did you look at historical information, and is there a reason not to include that here?
We did not. We only instrumented the Ridzone Management System in March to collect data that aligned to the design team recommendations. So essentially, anything prior to March was not taken into consideration. Jay.
Thanks. I think that we should look at a target for this. I don't think the lack of data is an excuse for no target. And the best way of looking at this is to compare this to an email-based inquiry, which you've got later on, which I've got a problem with on the five-day response time. But something along the lines of a two-day target would be, I think, fine for this. I mean, we're not this is largely an administrative job, as far as I understand it, of taking something that comes in via an email and updating it after possibly some discussions backwards and forwards, during which point the clock is stopped. It's only once the full request is properly understood that the clock actually needs to start.
Okay. Elaine, did you have a follow-up? Your hand's still up.
Yeah, I do. And I agree with Jay, and if you don't want to set 2 days or 5 days without some data to back it up, there is historical data. You may not have collected it over the three-month period, but you've got it. So there's not really a great reason not to put the numbers in here now.
So I think from our perspective, I mean, we're certainly willing to have the discussion about what the value should be in absence of any data to show current processing trends. I will note that with respect to our general operations, we operate Monday through Fridays, and you know, given the infrequency of these, it would just take one request that came in on a weekend that would mean we wouldn't meet that SLA. if it came in on, say, a Friday afternoon, for example. So I think, you know, there's some complexity to that we can discuss. I'm not proposing we do it right now, but we should talk that through. Jay.
I think this Monday to Friday is something we're going to need to discuss at some point. I'm not sure if this is the best place for it, but Monday to Friday, this is a global industry, and this is a global support or a service being provided to people. And so Monday to Friday, and I know I'm an outlier here, but gives me 4 days of service, effectively, because as you probably know, it's Friday morning for me here, and it's Thursday afternoon, I think, for a lot of you. I think we need to have a broader conversation. I'm not sure this is the best place, about expectations of service given the 24-hour, well, given the global nature of the service.
Thanks, Jay. I think that, you know, the scope of this work was just to maintain status quo, and obviously status quo under the current contract is Monday through Friday service. I'm sure there'll be many debates about how to evolve the service with the customer standing committee and so on, you know, moving forward. I personally look forward to that.
Let's just take Jeff's suggestion, which I think we explicitly did point at one point in the SLE design, is that by days here we're talking business days. We're not talking actual days. We've only ever meant business days.
All of our measurements, without exception, are calendar days, calendar minutes, calendar seconds. I mean, that's universal. We have no concept of business days in our SLAs whatsoever.
Okay, I think us on design team A will need to have a conversation then about whether we expect calendar days or business days.
Okay. We'll continue that discussion. I'm just mindful of running out of time here, so I'm going to press forward. With respect to technical checks, there's three areas of technical checks that we perform measurement on. First is the initial technical check, time to return results for technical checks following submission of request via automated submission interface. If you could just scroll down to the table. Here we have four categories of which it's applicable. The first is routine changes. Here, across the data set that we had, our average was about 10 minutes. The maximum was 59 minutes, three standard deviations above the mean was 50 minutes. So we're proposing 50 minutes as being the threshold there. For category three, which is delegation of GTLDs, we're proposing a more aggressive threshold of 10 minutes, as is explained in the test. The reason we believe for this improved performance here is simply the fact that GTLD applicants are required to have their systems tested by another department of ICANN just prior to coming to IANA. So in theory, GTLD applicants will have already met the test prior to initiating the request with IANA. Jay.
I've been thinking about this difference between category three and category four. I think that we ought to avoid differences between category three and category four where the difference allows for lower performance, but we ought to allow them where the difference allows for greater complexity for IANA, and therefore IANA need different thing in order to be able to correctly process them. So in this particular case of technical tests, I think that we ought to be raising category 3 to 50 minutes, the same as the others. But when we get down later on, there are other points in which I won't be saying that we change them, because it's not the registry that we're trying to talk, you know, trying to measure, if that's, you understand what I mean.
Okay, thank you. Moving down from here, move to the next category. This is the time to return results for subsequent performance of technical checks due to retesting, due to failed tests. As a reminder, if a TLD requester submits a change request and they do not pass on the first instance, our system will do retests. And this is simply measuring how long those retests take. In this case, this is what our data showed, essentially that the retests were generally relatively quick. So here we're proposing across the four applicable categories a threshold of 3 minutes. Any questions? Chuck.
Yeah, I'm sorry to back up to the previous category, but in your description of that category, you bring up a valid point that sometimes customers' response times are slow. Isn't it possible to eliminate customer response times from the measurements? And if so, it seems like that should be done so that that's not even a factor.
So in the instance of technical tests, what is it that we're actually doing? This is where our system probes your name servers to make sure they meet all of the root zone technical criteria. So we're sending queries to the registry and waiting for responses to come back from your name servers. In an ordinary situation with a well configured TLD, you know, that should be a relatively swift process. We get responses like in sub-second response times. But in the case where a TLD is misconfigured or is in a place with poor internet connectivity, you know, we might have to wait seconds for those responses, and these accumulate throughout a technical test run to you know, possibly minutes. So the variability here is in how long it takes for us to get those responses from the customer. The design team, you know, wanted us to measure the duration of how long it took ICANN to run through this battery of tests. So that's what we've instrumented our system to measure. But you know, it is strongly influenced by the nature of the technical configuration of a TLD, which, you know, exhibits itself, which is why Category 3 is a lot better than the other categories. Jay?
So, Chuck, as a general principle, the design team A has ensured that the clock stops when it is not IANA's responsibility, and that's a major change from the current SLA with the NTIA, which doesn't do that. In the case of these specific technical checks, though, it's practically impossible to do that because it's not so much a clock stop; it's a slow connection and slow response and things. So it wouldn't be able for it, I think, for IANA to do that at this point.
Okay, moving on to the next category, which is supplemental technical checks. Here, this is when we do basically a retest at the end of processing. This is after IANA has completed all of its other processes before we send it for implementation. The reason we do this is largely historical. You know, back in the days where things weren't automated, it took quite a while to process some changes. This was in case that the TLD's configuration had deviated in the time it took IANA to do the processing. Given that now things are mostly automated and generally speaking we don't see any deviation, this category is expected to pass relatively quickly. And I think if we scroll down to the results for this category, this bears out, which is why we're proposing a recommendation.
You've gone on mute, Kim. We've lost sound.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can now. Carry on.
Okay. All right. Network connectivity, isn't it great? So I'm not sure where I dropped off, but we've proposed here for the supplemental checks for categories 1 and 3, 60 seconds. And then given the lack of data For 4 and 5, we've nominated 5 minutes as a proposal for consideration. Jay.
This is another one of those things where I think you ought to be raising the CAT 3 target to 5 minutes to match with the CAT 4 target here. I don't, because effectively by having differentiated targets like that, we're holding the GTRD registrars to a higher standard of response internally from their systems than we are for CCTLDs, and I don't think that's appropriate.
Okay, good point. Thank you. Okay, next category. Contact confirmation. So this is the time it takes for the authorization contacts to be asked to approve a change request after completion of the previous processing phase. In the case of a technical change, that previous processing phase was the technical checks we just talked about, but obviously in the case of a non-technical change, that process is not conducted at all, and this is straight after the request is submitted. So here you can see, I mean, I'll just get to the nub of it. The measurements were extremely nominal. They were in the millisecond range, and that was consistent across the board. So for the same reason we discussed in the first measurement, anything where we have like a sub 1 minute measurement where we felt that customer experience wouldn't be negatively impacted, we've proposed 60 seconds as sort of a base threshold. Any questions on this? Hearing none, moving forward. The next category is time for response to be affirmed by the IANA functions operator. Essentially here, this is when the final authorizing contact approves a change request. How long does it take for the IANA system, the Root Zone Manager system, to recognize that the request is now validated and moves on to the next phase of processing? This is another thing where it's effectively measuring a very small logical function inside the system. There's really no variability here whatsoever. And again, our recommendation is the same as the last category. Any comments? Hearing none, moving forward. Okay, the next section is IANA processing time, and this is, I guess, perhaps where the meat of what we do is. The category is called time to complete all of the validations and reviews by IANA functions operator and release requests for implementation. In essence, this is IANA's staff processing time. It's all the time that, you know, is not automated. The other steps we just discussed and is basically the manual processing component of the workflow. I think it's important to note that the methodology we use to measure this today actually captures the time it's with the U.S. government, with NTIA, as IANA time. Obviously, this will self-correct as soon as the transition occurs. So the expectation is that those numbers will come down once we do the transition. It was our developer's view that it was very complex to split those apart, and given that it would be moot following the transition, we made a decision just to measure it in this fashion, that it would only be a concern right now prior to transition. So moving down to the table, in the case of Category 1, the mean there was 3 days. The maximum there was 6.5 days. So we're proposing a threshold of 7 days. So one, again, calendar days, so this would be one whole week. Category 2, our mean was 2.3 days, maximum was 5.7. Again, we're recommending 7 days. Category 3, our mean was 4 days, maximum was 17 days. Three standard deviations above the mean was 12 days, so we're recommending 12 days. In the case of Category 4, we received no requests of that type during the period. There's some explanation about this above. We already have an SLA in the current agreement with NTIA concerning how quickly CCTLD redelegations are performed. So, you know, the starting point, we've just nominated a figure there which is half that value, which is 60 days. Admittedly, it's entirely arbitrary, and I'm sure the design team will have some thoughts on that, but as a starting point, that's what we've proposed. And then finally, in Category 5, we did have one request of that type. It took 4.3 days. But bearing in mind that the whole point of Category 5 is these are those very unusual change requests that that the design team felt that it would be inappropriate to hold IANA to a processing target. You know, there might be legal matters with the ticket, for example, that Category 1, Category 5 requests wouldn't have a threshold. So for that reason, none has been provided here. So I'll pause here and Jay.
Okay, so I think you're double dipping on some of these then. So the recommendation is set outside the outlier, so beyond the maximum, plus then at a 90% threshold as well. You wouldn't normally do that. If you were going to have a threshold below 100%, then you would set below the maximum, below the outlier, because the outlier would then go into that remaining 10% there. I'm not... 7 days, you know, isn't... Well, it's complicated to see what the target should be in that regard, but I think that's something you would be looking at that would be a bit more reasonable in this regard, and I'm just getting up my own copy of the document here, would be 5 days, then, so that's Category 1 and Category 2, then with the 90% threshold for the outliers going beyond that. And I think that would match the data and would work quite well in that regard. So that's just my points for Category 1 and Category 2. Anything you want to say on that before I carry on?
So I think on this one in particular, you know, we have a level of uncertainty about how it's going to look post-transition. I mean, as I mentioned, the U.S. government time is in these numbers you see today. So that will be factored out in the new data as we move forward. And there's a high level of variability. I mean, some of these are very quick. Some of them take many more days. I guess we just didn't have a strong confidence about the trend here, and I think that bears out in the graphs where they're month-to-month quite different. I feel that this is something that will be the key discussion point for the CSC moving forward is how long stuff that is under our control, that sort of staff variability, goes. And I fully expect this to be a constant dialogue about where these numbers are going and what they should be. I don't have a strong view of exactly where the threshold should be right now. The 7 days were sort of, you know, with some rounding, three standard deviations above, which is kind of where we tried to put the thresholds, except for those really short ones. So, you know, I'm very happy to have the discussion.
Okay, I don't see that variability for Category 1 and Category 2 there that you see, and I don't want to give you something that's difficult or impossible or you're automatically going to fail or something like that, but at the same time, the targets that are set need to have some credibility. And if we're setting them beyond any of the outliers, plus with a 90% based on the evidence that we've collected for 3+ months, then I think that is, to a degree, a bit of a credibility problem. So I prefer Category 1 and 2 back at 5 days. Just moving on to Category 4. First of all, it's just tackling the NTIA bit. I'm slightly disappointed that we haven't counted for NTIA time. I think that was one of the points of doing the data collection, was to understand and eliminate their processing time. But the question I have for you is any of the NTIA work now going to be taken on by IANA, or is it all going to go entirely such that that is going to be entirely a saving in time for you?
I think in essence it will be the latter. Essentially, the NTIA step gets eliminated and is not replaced with anything. I think it will be entirely positive.
Okay, so in that case, I don't think then that asking for 5 days on Category 1 and Category 2 is unreasonable. Category 4, this is, again, in my view, double dipping, but I understand though, because of the 60 days plus the 50% is an incredibly low threshold, and we all agree it's necessary. I'm not suggesting that you're asking for an unreasonably low threshold there, but if we're going to have such a low threshold, then I think that the day's recommendation need to that 60 days is simply not, I think, a reasonable expectation for those people in CCTLDs who do their job correctly. So who send you the data correctly, who give everything necessary over to you to do things, you know, who do their work properly in that type of way. So as that one is largely created from historical and our best guess, you know, effective about things, I think we ought to start from that perspective and say, right, what is a reasonable expectation for people who do their job correctly, set the recommendation at that, the target at that, and then say what percentage of people are actually going to attempt to do that, and then set the threshold by that. That would be a more appropriate way to do that one.
I think in general I would say that the CCTLD redelegations are these days so infrequent. You know, in the past 5 to 10 years, we did have a sort of a spike with CCTLD IDNs, but countries that wanted those basically have applied to them and gotten them by this point. And, you know, changing hands of existing CCTLDs is increasingly rarer because things have tend to have stabilized as, you know, the internet has grown and, you know, countries tend to have settled on a sort of final arrangement of how they wanted their CCTLD to be managed. So this is always going to be a difficult one. I don't have a magic answer there. I think we can continue to have that dialogue, but just the sheer infrequency, and then you know, some countries are extremely well prepared, and some, you know, we literally handhold them for years through the process as they do consultations inside their country and so on. So it's a real mixed bag there, and I don't think any threshold we put is going to be a good representation. I mean, even the 50%. I mean, often in months where we have any at all, it's just one. So that one is going to be a pass-fail no matter what that percentage is. So if we just had one and that one took 61 days, we've failed this threshold. So it's always going to be a tough one.
That's I understand. Okay, thank you.
Paul.
Okay, so if we may, the person who is Scribe seems to have missed a number of actions that we have been raising on this call. I appreciate the call is not going to go on for much longer, but can I just run the quick list of the action items to date and hope the Scribe catches them? Namely, that there should be a comparison between the DTA thresholds that we came up with at Marrakesh and the IANA recommendations, that no blanks should be in this document, and historical data should be used. There should be no discrimination between CCTLDs and GTLDs. There is a desperate need for IANA staff, once again, who did a brilliant job working with DTA, to work again with DTA to refine this document. This is a first draft, and I hope we can see the whole document and run through a little quicker, and then have a subsequent follow-up call where we actually really go into detail. And I do have to say I concur with Jay's comments. There does seem to be a certain amount of double-dipping going on. And indeed, as Jay also indicated, one of the desires was that the time taken in NTIA was logged. So effectively it could be excluded, because that's how the scenario will be when this SLE is post-transition. So those are the action items listed, and they still don't seem to be recorded, but I sincerely hope they will be recorded at the end of this call. So, yes, I do echo Jay's comments, namely double-dipping with respect to times, and some of them seem quite a long duration. Thanks.
Paul, this is Claire. Clang, it sounds like you've got those things that you have just mentioned to us written down somewhere. So it would be really helpful if you can share that with us, if you've gotten them written down somewhere, either in the chat room here or if you could send us an email with that list of items, we would appreciate it. And we'll review that after this call and respond appropriately.
Yeah, but to be honest, Trang, and we work quite closely together, this is really your job. You're the secretariat. I have the notes, and I'll send them to you gladly, but that's what's why I've raised it. There are significant holes in the document presented. We need to work closely with IANA to make sure that this document is professionally drafted. It's well put together, but it's not actually addressing the SLE that we spent a long, many months refining. But let's continue, if we may, to go through this document. I think it's well put together. I think we need to run through everything and then have a follow-up call with IANA to try and get this document or get an SLE and appropriate thresholds in place. But I will send you the list. Yeah.
Thanks, Paul. And the reason I ask is because I think you've shared with us a lot of thoughts and some feedback, general feedback in the document and things like that, but maybe not all of them are actual action items, but just areas where we would continue to have further discussions with the DTA on, obviously. As we mentioned at the beginning of the call, this is the first look at this document, and this is exactly the sort of conversation that we want to have with this team, is to get the initial feedback and continue to work with you on refining the document. So thank you. Yes, please send us any notes that you have.
So it's Kim here. We only really have about 5 minutes left, and I don't think we can really run over in respect of everyone's time and the fact we'll probably lose our room here at ICANN. I did intend to do a demo of our real-time dashboard and the anonymized logs that we've developed. Would you rather spend the last few minutes continuing through this document, or should we pause that and switch? Any comments, feedback?
I think, bearing in mind 177 people were contacted in connection with this call, some might be interested in the dashboard. Let's show everyone the dashboard, and then we can take this back to the DTA group and work through that. I think that would be good use of everyone's time. So let's see. Thanks, Kim.
Okay, thank you. So my colleague, Ali, who has really taken the lead on writing this, is just switching over to his laptop. He's going to drive it. In essence, what we've produced here is a real-time dashboard. This is updated roughly every 5 minutes. You can go through here, and Ali's going to click through to demo some of it. But in essence, we have the SLE categories plus a number of informational categories. Beyond that, we have the ability to look at all the measurements. You can see here on the screen the check marks refer to whether it's met the particular threshold for that given measurement.
You're on mute again, Kim.
Apologies, it must be a network connectivity issue. Can you hear me now? Hello?
Yes, we can hear you. Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, apologies. Moving forward, you can drill down onto any particular measurement and see what they were for a given period. You can see the adherence to the various thresholds. In particular, on the top right, you can go and choose date ranges. You can choose hourly, daily, monthly. You can enter like very specific date ranges if you wish. So you can drill down on specific time periods that are of interest to you. So it's relatively, it's a very flexible tool that lets you, slice and dice the data in many different ways. We're looking now at technical tests. We also have all the other various categories that we've been going through in this document. It's still a work in progress, but the fundamental functionality is there. We're trying to work out improved ways of presenting the graphs. Maybe bar charts aren't always the best way to do it. We have box charts in the PDF, and we'll look at adding those as well to this. I guess the other thing to just quickly go to in the last couple of minutes is the logging functionality, if you could bring that up, Ali. In essence, obviously, the other half of this is that we have the request to have raw logs that back this so that any enterprising person can download it and really verify our presentation or analyze it in some other way that this perhaps doesn't allow for. So we have the full ability to download all the events that back this presentation. So essentially, you choose the start and end date, get logs. This will crunch for a second and provide us with a log. We'll also be depositing these logs like on an FTP server, so you can download the individual log files that way as well. And just to give a quick sense of the logs, Ali will open it up. So each event has a number of attributes and timestamps and so on. So really, you should be able to go through all this event data and reproduce the analysis that we present in our reporting. Obviously, there's some confidentiality aspects to this, so some of the fields have been removed or hashed. You can see here, for example, the ticket ID is a hash rather than the actual ticket number. I think it's all relatively straightforward. Very happy to take questions on this, perhaps online by email. I can follow up with anyone that had specific questions. Obviously, this will be ready to be deployed in time for the transition, but you can see it's operational today. Any questions or comments on this?
No, I think that was a very useful run-through, and well done to your colleague, Ali. It's good to see that the recommendation of having a dashboard has been adopted, and it looks quite professional. But is there an opportunity for us to see this behind the scenes? Is there a beta version that is publicly available that we could reveal?
We don't have it deployed in that fashion yet. There's some... If we publish new data that we don't publish today under the IANA contract, it needs to go through that whole process of being approved for that. So we're researching what's possible there. I'm not sure the answer is to exactly when we might be able to present it, but obviously no later than the transition. But we'll take that request on and look into it further. Jay.
Yeah, just one thing. On the raw logs, it would be great if you could include the region that the requester is in. I understand you want to anonymize who the requester is, but for us to understand the impact of, say, time zones or language or anything like that, and in fact, language of the requester or something if possible, though, again, that may give away too much, that would be very useful for us to understand. Just so that we can see, you know, the performance impacts of some of those regional issues.
Okay, that's a good idea. I'm not sure how practical it is to implement at this juncture, but we'll definitely take it on as a suggested addition to it. Any other comments? So we are at the top of the hour. Thanks. I wasn't expecting there to be as much discussion, and I think it's actually very valuable. At this point, I only wish we'd budgeted more time for this discussion. So it sounds like it's to be continued. Hopefully we'll get further discussion and comments on the email list. If we need to have a further discussion like this on the call, I'm very happy to set that up as well. So for now, I think that's it. Thanks, everyone, for your hour and your time and your feedback. It's very valuable. Bye-bye for now.